Thank you very much, Mayu. That was absolutely beautiful. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now this is not merely a guide to social functions, putting out good wine first and then the bad wine when the meal is underway. This report of the wedding feast of Cana actually is there for its spiritual significance. It brings home to us the spiritual significance of divine motherhood. This is a rising in consciousness from the material to the spiritual. The feast is symbolic of a change in consciousness. The wedding, bride and groom, is a joining together, a bonding of our thinking nature and our feelings nature. The first 3 days and the second 3 days of Genesis, if you will. It is the realization of the need for the divine mind to move on the waters of the deep. It is God coming forth into expression. According to the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, the wine symbolizes the vitality that forms the connecting link between soul and body. It is an all-pervading free essence that is generated from the nerve substance or water of life. The wine of life or free vitality of the organism must be present in large quantities before a blending of thoughts or of soul and body, wedding, can be made successfully. Carefully reviewing this report from Cana, we can see the significance of divine motherhood and the spiritual nourishment that comes from it. Note that Jesus and his disciples are they who wanted the wine. This is a recognition that the vitality, the link between soul and body, must be present in abundance before the soul and body, or mind and feeling, can be joined. The mother side of our feeling nature reminds us that we have not yet brought forth with enough sufficiency our feeling nature to join body and soul, our mind and spirit. And Jesus, and we can relate to this feeling, I'm sure, is now saying the equivalent of, what, me? To his mother, just as we would when we are not quite feeling up to the task at hand. When he speaks to his mother as woman, this is a signal to us that he is not speaking dismissively to his own mother. Rather, he is addressing the divine nature of his being, the feminine side or feeling side, and expressing within his consciousness that that side of him needs the attention. It needs the attention of his I am consciousness to bring forth the feeling or the link between body and soul. The mother element of consciousness is the love element, the element that impels us to move forward in spiritual development, the element that is present as God, Creator, ideates and does the creation. That aspect, the ideation, is the mother element. And we see what happens when our consciousness is aware and focuses on the woman element. Then in consciousness, our feeling nature tells our five senses, do what he tells you. In other words, act. Act from the standpoint of cause, from the standpoint of creator, from the standpoint of God. That spiritual connection, joining mind and body, is the miracle. That touching of the Christ consciousness, where mind and body are joined in an act, and act from spirit, from cause and not from effect, that is the miracle. Then joy is present in the form of wine, and the wedding feast continues. The good wine is not served first and then exhausted. Rather, the good wine becomes infinite and comes forth better and better in increasing supply and abundance. And it is directly due to the mother nature of ourselves and our consciousness. Jesus here is demonstrating principle, the recognition that it takes both mind and feeling in spirit to produce spiritual, real results. Now there is, of course, in Scripture a commandment in Exodus that says, honor thy father and mother. But what does that really mean? Emmett Fox, in his book, The Ten Commandments, writes that these are really 10 laws of life. They're not really commandments in terms of shalt nots. They do not really mean thou shalt not, but rather that you cannot, you have no ability to violate these laws. The truth is, Emmett Fox writes, that you can do anything, have anything, be anything for which you have the consciousness, but not otherwise. So with the commandments, these are things that cannot be done because we are children of God, joint heirs, and we do not have the consciousness to act in a way opposite to those very Ten Commandments. For example, let's take stealing. We cannot steal because we cannot keep anything for which we do not have the consciousness to correspond. So we really can't take another's good because we don't have their consciousness necessary to hold on to it. Now the same is true with honoring our mother. We cannot do otherwise. It is in our nature. And if we ignore the mother side of our nature, we will then have no wine, so to speak. We will have no joy. We will have no link connecting body and soul. We will have no spiritual unfoldment. Later in that very same book, Emmett Fox, in the chapter on this fourth commandment of honoring thy father and mother, explains why Jesus at first said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." Emmett Fox writes, "You can learn truth very quickly. We have classes here. We have 6 classes. And you can read and grasp the intellectual side of what's being expressed in those classes. That's the father side. But the training of the feeling, the mother side, is the difficult thing. Train yourself to put your feeling only into the thoughts that you want to demonstrate. Keep it out of those that you do not want to demonstrate. And that is what takes the practice." And this is what Jesus is showing us in Cana. Cana is that place of balance, or the power center in consciousness. He is training up his use of the mother side, or feeling nature. And the result is the wedding happens. The required joy link between body and soul, represented by wine, is there, and it is there in abundance, such that the good wine continues to flow forth. And it is all because he has tapped into the nourishing nature of divine motherhood. A spiritual lesson in nourishment of divine motherhood also is apparent with the story of Moses. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark made of bulrushes, dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child in it, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister," Moses' sister, "stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And that child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.' And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and he looked on their burden. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Now, Moses' mother surrenders the child. She surrenders the child so that he can become one of the leaders of the race that has kept them in bondage. The stepmother, if you will, allows Moses' spirit to continue to be nourished until it is fully weaned. Then Moses, at the height of material accomplishment, one of the leaders in the Egyptian race at that time, sees his spiritual ancestry being beaten, and he rises up and slays it. Now, unlike Cain, in fact, the opposite of Cain, we see here the spiritual dominating the physical. not the other way around. And of course, Moses frees himself and his people from bondage to flesh. Where does he do this? He does it in consciousness. None of this could have happened, though, without the impact of motherhood. The mother who recognized the need of spiritual man to come into the flesh for expression. And the stepmother who tended to the development on that human scene and then the return to the divine motherhood. Indeed, the importance of divine motherhood cannot be overemphasized. Helen Zagat writes in her book Faith and Works that the realization of divine motherhood is what it takes to feel the importance of principle as well as the intellectual knowledge of it. She writes, "Let the perfection of spirit permeate your thought and your feeling. With this in mind, you can feel encouraged to use the truth that you know. Consciousness is awareness. It is the realization of spiritual principle. It is the feeling of it, as well as the intellectual knowledge of principle. We have to practice as we live, until in our deep hearts, we react to certain situations according to spirit, not human acceptance of the evidence of the senses." And this is all as a direct result to divine motherhood. She goes on to describe what appears to us as the hesitation Jesus may have felt at Cana by saying, "If we say we have faith in God as the healing power," in other words, from our intellectual standpoint, "but then we tighten up inside when we hear that someone near to us has the appearance of illness, fearing it may strike us, we have not yet established in our feeling and belief nature, a stable consciousness. I would take it further to say, we have not yet established our connection with our divine motherhood. For when we do, the wine of life will flow and all will be well. And we will not concern ourselves with fears from sense evidence." Genevieve Berrand, a student of Thomas Troward, indeed it is reported that she was his only student, writes in her book, Your Invisible Power, a chapter that is entitled, How to Make Nature Respond to You. That reminds me of those old commercials that say it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. But apparently, if we grasp the principles of divine motherhood, we may in fact bring it into our daily consciousness. She concludes her chapter with the words, "Faith with works sets you absolutely free." She writes, "The human understanding that realizes your mind is a center of divine operation and contains within itself, which accepts suggestions, and that if you accept suggestions tending to the fulfillment spiritually, they will appear fulfilled on the physical plane." What is this operation that she's discussing other than divine motherhood, relied upon for spiritual nourishment and then brought into expression? Jesus' words on the cross impart this principle of divine motherhood being brought into expression by denying the personality aspect of human motherhood and replacing it with the universal concept of divine motherhood that can be individualized. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. His disciple has taken her into his consciousness. He has taken into consciousness or home the concept of divine motherhood. A true understanding of motherhood is the understanding of divine motherhood. And in order to make that lesson practical, we must apply it. And we must train ourselves daily to apply it by focusing on the feeling nature that brings God into expression in our individual consciousness. Will you join me now in the opportunity to make this lesson practical by coming together in our closing meditation? Let's sit comfortably now in our chairs. Let's relax our mind. Let's close our eyes and take in some deep breaths and think about our human mothers and the universal spiritual concept of divine motherhood. This is adapted from our basic text on page 177, Truth in Relationships. As we are still, we realize we are all one in Christ consciousness. Whoever brings forth into expression feelings from divine motherhood is my brethren. There is but one spiritual family. One mother is literally the mother of all. Truth brings forth the larger love. We give up all thoughts of human bondage. We give up all thoughts of inclination to selfishness and criticism. We embrace the fuller consciousness, feeling love. Love is no discriminator of persons. We love the lovely and the unlovely. We love as God, Mother, love. We see only the divine in each other. This love is abundant. This love is infinite. We love by thinking only the best of each other and all. We recognize only love in every soul. We love by speaking the kindest, most helpful words of everyone. God loves me. God loves you. Beyond God's love, there is none else. We love each other as ourselves. We bring this divine love from our mother side of nature. We bring divine motherhood into expression at all times. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Have a happy Mother's Day, go in peace, and have a blessed week.